The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show, our top stories this hour, and we have an awful lot to get to, as you just heard Aaron mention. At 2:30 this afternoon, Jay Inslee is going to talk about the possibility of, it could be as many as 20 to 30,000 government employees, and I'm not just talking about the state. The state employs 120,000 workers. By the way, how obscene is that? That the state of Washington government employs 120,000 people. That's when you are getting very dangerously close to socialism. Because in France, where France has been an economic disaster for a long time, and that's because 35% of their workforce worked for the government. And the problem with that, of course, is, and this isn't to disparage government workers, this is just a fact. If you work for the government, it is not your mandate to produce more economic return than what they pay you. It's just not. Government is a non-productive segment of our economy. By definition, government is. And I remember when last time my family and I were in France, and you'd see people, and they'd just be standing in a park, just sweeping up cigarette butts, and getting paid an awful lot of money to do it. And France is very much a Western socialist nation, and they have all kinds of economic turmoil. And they have, by the way, so much poverty there, despite their socialism, that there's been incredible unrest. But my point is, the fact that there are 120,000 state government workers, and that doesn't count, you know, all the county governments and all the city governments around here. So they say that right now there are about 10%, or there is a number of 10% government workers at the state level who are unvaccinated. So if they don't come in at the last minute, 12,000 state workers are going to lose their jobs next week. That's in the middle of still a recession. And when we have all kinds of economic turmoil at the national level, we have the highest inflation in 13 years. But the fact that Jay Inslee doesn't seem to care about the individual lives of these people. And what I mean by that is nobody, there is zero evidence. The data daddy has provided no data to suggest that firing a bunch of people on Monday is going to make our COVID situation any better. In Florida, no mask mandates, no mandates to get vaxxed. And in Florida, their hospitalizations are down 81% over the last 2 months. In Washington, we're doing everything the opposite of Florida. And our hospitalization rate is only off about 25 to 30% in the last 2 months. How can that be? Florida, no mandates to mask or vax. And then you have private sector. The Biden administration has told Boeing they have to have a vax mandate. So Boeing workers are going to lose their job. And what's been the result of all of this? Well, Ferry System announced yesterday that they are eliminating, for the time being, 40% of their state routes. They had 15 boats crossing Puget Sound, and now they're going to take out six of them, and they're only going to be nine. So you're going to have much longer lines. Seattle police say that they are on a code 3, expecting some unprecedented turmoil. We're going to see the murder rate, which is already at a record level in 2021. The murder rate's undoubtedly going to increase. The DOT, what's going to happen when we get the snows in the mountain passes this winter? Oh, I know all the TV stations will do a live shot, though. It's snowing in the passes. In the winter? It snows in the mountains? Live at 11. But are they even going to be able to get up there if they don't have people to clear the highways? This is crazy, gang. There's real craziness going on here. So JNC speaking at 2:30. I know I'm getting all the text messages. I know how upset you are that you're going to have to listen to Jay Inslee instead of entertaining programming from The Big Show. But we're just going to dip in. Hear what he has to say at the beginning. But this could be chaos, especially in law enforcement. Could be absolute chaos. But we're going to see it with the ferry schedule. We're going to see it in all these other aspects of industry where people are losing their jobs at a time when we should be trying to get our economy back on more solid footing. And the Biden administration is doing everything it can do to destroy our economy. Highest inflation in 5 years. Home heating fuel costs expected to be up 41% this year over last year. I'll get back to that in just a couple of minutes. But Jay Inslee coming up at 2:30. We'll carry a little bit of that live for you here on the Dory Monson Show. All right. With all that as mere prelude, let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
We told you yesterday about a story that our friend Brandy Cruz at Fox 13 broke. We have a Seattle City Attorney candidate named Nicole Thomas Kennedy, and she is a self-described abolitionist, meaning she wants to eliminate crime. Well, no, she doesn't want to eliminate crime. She wants to legalize crime, literally. She says she will not prosecute any misdemeanors if she is the Seattle City Attorney, which is a de facto legalization of crime. It means that you can walk into any store and shoplift up to $750 worth of goods, knowing that you will not be punished. All the store chains, they've told their employees, nope, you can't stop any, no physical force. If you see somebody walking out with a cart full of stolen merchandise, just let them go. And then the Seattle City Attorney says, well, the cops aren't even going to respond because I'll let them go if she is hired. And she had sent out a bunch of vile tweets. I told you about all this. Well, I've told you about her tweets for weeks now. But she cheers for people who have committed arson. She cheers for people. She's called police officers pigs and serial killers. She calls property damage a moral imperative. Well, it turns out Brandy broke a story yesterday about her campaign manager, and she is even more off the rails. And the reason I'm coming back to this topic today is Jenny Durkin has just responded, because this campaign manager, Ty Reid, sent out a bunch of tweets that included some violent threats against Mayor Jenny Durkin. And while I have to abbreviate all the swear words, she writes every one of them out in full bloom. This B word, Mayor Durkin, is going to get her ass beat one day. This is the campaign manager for Nicole Thomas Kennedy. When Seattle police said that they were responding to a shooting near Seward Park, the campaign manager for the Seattle City Attorney candidate, Nicole Thomas Kennedy, tweeted about a shooting Seattle police were responding to, prayers the victim is a KKK cop. She was praying that a police officer got shot. Talking about Joe Biden, the theater never effing matters. All his pretty words aren't stopping the police from beating our asses, so the unity BS is wasted breath, hopefully his last. So she was hoping for the death of Joe Biden. As for Carmen Best, former Seattle police chief, and by the way, the woman writing this is black. Carmen Best is black. She tweeted that Carmen Best is an Uncle Tom MF-er benefiting off the suffering of black folks. But on the one about she hopes that Mayor Durkin gets her, quote, ass beat, Mayor Durkin has now responded to that. And as you might imagine, she's not very happy about it. But she's issued a statement. She has said that this sort of violence should not be tolerated. By the way, Gary Locke and Chris Gregoire have both endorsed Nicole Thomas Kennedy's opponent, Ann Davidson, because they know how she's going to just destroy this community if she is elected as Seattle City Attorney. So on and on it goes, but Jenny Durkin has been the subject of some violent protests at her house. Her address was never supposed to be given out, but Shams Sawant gave it out last year, even though Jenny Durkin has been a U.S. attorney on some high-profile cases where some bad guys might want to harm her. But protesters would go to her house and spray all kinds of graffiti. She lives in a gated mansion, about a $14 million mansion on Lake Washington, Jenny Durkin does. She and her partner are worth a couple hundred million dollars. But still, people shouldn't be bothered at their home. The only problem I have with Durkin referencing how people went to her house and threatened her last year and did damage with graffiti is that Jenny Durkin had no problem sitting idly by when other people's homes were being damaged and violence was being expressed to them over the last year, including all the residents inside the Chaz Chop area. Jenny Durkin couldn't have cared less about them and their homes and the graffiti being sprayed and the violence expressed towards them, but she's still upset that any of those things happened at her home. But bottom line is I don't blame Jenny Durkin for responding, for saying that this is just absolutely out of control. The campaign manager for a Seattle City attorney candidate who wishes death upon Joe Biden, wishes violence upon Jenny Durkin, and on it goes. Crazy. A level of insanity that never would have seemed possible. And by the way, when people say, what's the big deal with the vaccine, Monson? For me, there was no big deal. Oh, I just heard in the news at the top of the hour that a panel by 19-0 says that they're moving forward with the Moderna booster. It's not approved yet, but it looks like it's going to be. The Moderna, and Moderna, I made a huge mistake. I got the Moderna vax. And as I shared with you, I got so sick after the second one. And I was sure I was going to be unaffected because I've never been bothered by any shot that I've ever gotten in my life. You know, I've heard people say, I got the flu shot and I got a low level flu and I don't have any negative. So I was sure I was going to be unaffected. Oh my gosh. I was hallucinating. It was awful. So now Moderna's booster is going to be approved. And I got to decide if I want to inject that stuff in me again. But that's my choice. Nobody's forcing me to. In fact, our company have said that they want everyone vaccinated, but if you don't get vaccinated, you can do the testing to just show that you don't have the COVID, which is what most of these government employees are asking for. But back to the main point. So what's the big deal, Monson, if government is forcing us to get vaxxed? Well, I'll tell you what's the big deal. Now it's a vax. Next time it might be a vas. Vasectomy. Oh, I'm not kidding about this. So there's a Democratic representative in Pennsylvania. And I guess, apparently, he was doing this in response to the Texas abortion law, but he didn't give any indication when he first proposed this bill that it was tongue-in-cheek or anything else. A Democratic representative in Pennsylvania has proposed a mandatory vasectomy for men. Once you have fathered three children, you would have to get a vasectomy if his bill moves forward. Or once you hit age 40, a vasectomy would be mandatory. Representative Chris Rabb is the guy who proposed this.
We shouldn't have government making these regulations. I put up this bill to push back because this is something that men don't have to talk about as it relates directly to them. They're making opinions about other people's bodies, and those other people are not men and boys.
Okay, so he says push back against Texas abortion bill. Let's go after men's reproductive rights. But why not? If government can say it's for the good of society, for you, mandatory, to get a therapeutic injection, why wouldn't they be able to say, oh, it's for the good of society? It's worked really well in China. Good of society, mandatory vasectomy after three kids or age 40, whichever comes first. Why not? I had a mandatory vasectomy after I fathered three kids. It wasn't government that made me get it. It's my wife. Don't we want to try for a boy, honey? You don't have a Y chromosome in you. Get that vasectomy. It's mandatory. Okay. See, I'll push back against government. I'm not going to push back against my wife. You kidding me? So, see, I know all about the mandatory vasectomies. But seriously, what's stopping them? If they can force you to get something injected in your body against your will, what's stopping them from forcing you to get a little snip-snip? It's already been proposed. The slippery slope continues to slide, and that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
All right, if he's on time, Jay Inslee's going to speak at 2:30 about the mass firings. Art Hannah Scott has already confirmed that he is not going to extend the deadline, and tens of thousands of employees may be out of work next week in our state. My heart breaks for all of those people. What incredible turmoil they are facing right now. So we'll listen to a little bit of the governor's speech live next here on the Dory Monson Show. We're waiting on Jay Inslee to speak live any moment now. He's 4 minutes late. 4 minutes late? I'm telling you, this guy couldn't run a two-car funeral. So now we're dealing with the possibility of 20,000 government workers and some private sector in the healthcare industry and elsewhere, Boeing in December, being fired as soon as Monday for a lot of the government workers. And then we have what's going on with our national economy. We still have a shipping catastrophe where there are cargo ships that are just sitting out, scores of them, sitting out in the Sound right now in Elliott Bay. They had to arrange to have a path for the ferry to go through. Saratoga Passage, Holmes Harbor off of Whidbey, where cargo ships have never been anchored before. But they're all stuck because the ports of Everett and Seattle and Tacoma, they just aren't operating. And some believe that it's a slowdown of some of the truckers, of some of the longshoremen. I've had everybody tell me it's not us. Longshoremen, a bunch of them contact me yesterday. Said, no, we're down there. We're ready to work, but we don't have any place to put them because we're already stacked up everywhere in the shipyard, everywhere in the port. And the truck drivers have told me we're ready to work. A lot of us are independent contractors. We can't afford to make a show out of a sick out. And so everybody's pointing fingers. And I honestly, with the shipping one, I've heard from everybody, every party involved. All I know is their store shelves empty, and we're being told that we might not be able to buy Christmas presents this year at the rate we're going. We have gas prices. Man, I was coming home from up in the foothills last night, and our car was on low fuel, so I got off in Issaquah to put a little gas in. $4.29 a gallon. 429. And at the White House, we all knew this was going to happen with Joe Biden. America was energy independent before Joe Biden. We didn't need any foreign oil. But then Biden came in and said, no more pipeline, no fracking, no offshore drilling. And now we're relying on OPEC. And his spokesperson, Jen Psaki, said, oh, no, it's not that bad.
For a range of issues, and we should talk about those, that the American people are, of course, impacted by rising prices of gas in some parts of the country, not all.
It's not going up everywhere. It's going up everywhere. And I will say that this was predicted, but I'll have to continue with that later because Jay Inslee is just stepping up to the microphone. Let's go to Olympia live.
How are we doing there? Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. We have some really great news today. I can announce that our state has been remarkably successful in increasing the vaccination rate for state workers. And nothing could give me more delight the knowing that our state employees have stepped up to the plate and have become vaccinated, which protects themselves, their families, and importantly, the public to battle this horrendous pandemic. As you know, our progress has been very significant. When we started this effort, we were at 48% vaccinated in state employment. Today, we are over 90%. We are over 90% of total state employees have become vaccinated. And if you add those who have had an exemption and have been accommodated, we are at, I believe, 91.7. If I can see our graph here, Josie, I hope you're putting up here so people can see it. We started at 49.1% on September 6th. We went up to 68% on September 20th. We now are at 91.87% as of October 4th. That number actually has gone up since then and has continued to go up every single day. This is extremely gratifying. It is gratifying because we now know there will not be a mass exodus of state employees. And we will be able to continue essential state services for the people of the state of Washington. The verification deadline for employment is approaching Monday. That deadline will not be extended. People have had 10 weeks to get vaccinated. We've had plenty of opportunity and access to the vaccinations, and people now need to make a choice. So more than 9 out of 10 state employees have been vaccinated. As of Monday, we'll report additional numbers, and that will increase. We also believe there are quite a number of employees who have been vaccinated but have not yet returned their status to the agencies involved. Now, we have been successful in this effort because in Washington, we have state employees who are committed to public service and who've made a decision to keep the public safe, to try to prevent increasing rates of infection. They care about the people they serve as well as their own selves and their families. We know the pandemic has thrown challenge after challenge against these state employees, and we appreciate their work. Some individuals who choose to walk away from their state employment, we want them to know that we have appreciated their service to date, and we wish them well. But I want to express my total appreciation of those state employees who have answered this public call and have made a decision to protect the citizens they serve. We are deeply grateful for that decision. And frequently for those folks, that has not been an easy decision. I've talked to our agency about these numbers. It's going to allow us to continue our essential services. We're going to keep operating just fine, in part because of the dedication of our state employees. There might be some operational changes in agencies, but they have provided a way to do that. We are capable of handling those changes because we have had so many employees step up to the plate in the last few weeks. So I'm optimistic also that these numbers will continue to grow even after October 18th, because I believe there will be those who will make a decision after October 18th to return to their jobs if those jobs have not yet been filled. We hope that that will be the case, because we value everyone's service and we would like everyone to stay in public service with the state of Washington. Now, I have an announcement today regarding our continued efforts to fight this continuing pandemic. I am thrilled about the vaccination rates of our state employees, but we know we have to continue to accelerate our efforts against this deadly disease. Statewide, over 70% of Washington's over 12 have been vaccinated. But we've got to continue to increase that vaccination rate. There are still 1.6 million Washingtonians 12 and up who have not started their vaccination, and more children below the age of 12. Now, we know that our cases as a percentage of the population happily have been going down. They have been showing some decline. But we know they can come right back up. So it is especially important to increase our vaccination rate for our children to allow them to stay in school. We're very happy our kids are back in school. But we will not allow another wave to shut down our schools or our businesses. So we are committed to continuing these diligent efforts. If we can look at the epi curve, there's a pretty obvious reason why increased efforts are necessary. There's a pretty obvious reason why the status quo is not good enough. And there's a pretty obvious reason of how important this issue is to Washingtonians. We have lost over 8,000 Washingtonians to this dread disease. And what we know about it is you can knock it down, but it gets back up. If you look at our epi curve starting in April 2020, we had a sharp curve. We were thrilled when it came down. But if you go to July 2020, it came back. And we were thrilled when those numbers came down. But again, in between October and January 2021, it came back. And we were thrilled when they started to come down in late January. But then in July, we've got this precipitous rise again. We cannot and we will not surrender to this disease. We cannot and we will not think that the status quo is good enough. We have got to get on top of this disease and knock these numbers down. And fortunately, and it is our good fortune, we have a tremendous weapon to do that with, and that is this vaccine. And we intend to continue to deploy that weapon against this disease by taking measures that we know that work, and that is to get more people vaccinated. So, today I'm announcing a vaccine verification requirement for large events in the state of Washington. Effective November 15th, large events in Washington state will be required to verify that their attendees are either fully vaccinated or have received a negative test within the previous 72 hours. This applies to attendees who are 12 and older. This applies to indoor events with 1,000 or more attendees, and this will apply to outdoor events when there are more than 10,000 attendees. For now, this applies to ticketed or registered events that have defined entrances, like conventions, concerts, sporting events, fairs that have defined entrances, theme parks, and more. This does not cover large venues like shopping malls, museums, or grocery stores that are open to the public as part of their operations. Religious services will also be exempt from this requirement, as are K-12 school-related events that occur on school property. There will be several ways to verify vaccination status, beginning with a CDC vaccination record card or a photo of that card. a printed certificate or a screenshot on your phone from myirmobile.com works. Other official immunization records from health care providers can also be accepted. Confirmation of a negative COVID test in the last 72 hours can be done using the records provided by the test provider or laboratory. So this is yet another step in an ongoing battle with this disease. We believe it is a very important one. It can help incentivize people to decide to get vaccinated and avoid the headache of having to get a test. We believe it will be yet another effective of the measures that we have taken that have shown effect during this disease. And I think it is important to note the things we have done have benefited people and saved thousands of lives. Our state continues to have one of the lower death rates in the United States. We want to improve that situation, and we will continue to take these steps in this direction. Now, we know that outdoor venues are safest, but they still have some transmission risk, and that's why we've taken the steps that we have. We also know that more people are gathering at large events now than they have in the last year and a half. That's a good thing. But we need to continue this effort because not only of this variant, but there could be others down the road as well. Nearly half of the world's population, more than 3.7 billion people, have received at least one dose of one of these COVID vaccines currently available. We know that these vaccines work, and that's why we're taking these measures.
Okay. I think we've heard all the high points from Jay Inslee. He is starting to repeat his own repeat of himself. How do you react to what you just heard? Let me pull up the text machine here. You can text me at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. But I'd like to spend some time just getting your instant reaction to what you just heard from Jay Inslee. He says there will be no extension of the deadline. He said that he had great news that 90% of state employees are vaccinated. And then when you have the exemptions that have been accommodated, he said it's up to 91.7%. What is unsaid by that, of course, is that we're still looking at 10,000 people who are going to get fired. And he seemed so cavalier about this. It just... This is a different man. I'm telling you, this is a different man from the dude I played basketball against early in his first term. Something's happened. But he sounded so cavalier and almost a little evil when he said, and for those state employees who have made the decision to walk away from your jobs, we wish them well. These are people who have been working under you, for you, for us. We wish you well. Goodbye. I couldn't believe the tone. But I really mean what I'm saying. And I'm not saying this just makes some ad hominem attack. This is a totally different guy. You know, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. This is a totally different guy who seemed to have some human emotions a few years ago. But now it's just weird to listen to it. He said 76% of all of us are vaccinated, but he wants to get that up. And one of the things that's dangling out there is California has already done it. They may make, down the road, not yet, vaccination mandatory for kids to go to school. And for all the parents who have said, no, there's no way my 5-year-old, my 12-year-old is going to get vaccinated, what's that going to do? The other thing he announced there is for any large event, there will be a vaccine verification that's mandatory or a negative test within 72 hours for any indoor event over 1,000 people, any outdoor event over 10,000 people. And still, they don't enforce the mask mandate. You look at a Seahawks game, and I guarantee you when the Kraken have a home game, you're not going to see anybody wearing masks. But they have this mask mandate that is completely unenforced. And now they're going to say, but if you even want to get into the arena or the stadium, somebody's going to have to check your card that you carry or the app that you install. No, man, I wish I could share everything. Oh, and then what he said, and we're going to be able to keep up essential state operations. No, you're not. The ferry system announced that it is eliminating 40% of their boats. We're going to see people in dramatically longer ferry lines. I talked to a ferry worker a couple of hours ago, and he said that means that people aren't going to be able to get across the water to their doctor's appointments or to some other center. What if you're a cancer patient and you got to get to downtown Seattle from Bainbridge or Whidbey, Kameno, Vashon, San Juan's? What about them? Oh, we wish them well. Let's go, Brandon. Okay, let's check some of your calls. Oh, man. I'm getting hundreds from the 360. The frustration of the arrogance of Inslee, that he is saving us, that the vaccine is better than our natural immunity, and antibodies. Money and power is poisoning us. From Levi, how on earth did this transmission rate go up this year when more people are vaccinated? Well, and the death rate, too. And the death rate. More people have died in the first 9 months of 2021 in America than in all of 2020. How can that be if the vaccine is so effective? We didn't have a vaccine in 2020, and yet fewer people died last year than have died this year with the vaccine. Make sense of that. 206, Inslee's on a continued power trip. I don't know where this is. This is why I will not get the vaccine. I've had COVID. I'm fine. He keeps moving the goalpost. When will it end? Only when he isn't in office anymore. 360, he's drunk on power. 253, bleep. No. Jay Inslee? No. Let's go, Brandon. Inslee is a tyrant. I keep playing Another Brick in the Wall by Pink Floyd. I cannot believe the authoritarian state we now live in. Once again, the king has sent his decree to his peasants. He's power hungry. He makes me sick. State workers had no other options. He's evil. My daughter. I'm getting so many texts that my screen disappears because it's scrolling so fast. It's like trying to read a slot machine. Oh, man. Yeah, my reaction before I looked at any of these text messages was, this man is very different from the guy I played hoops against. And so something's gone seriously wrong. And that seems to be the main theme from 90% of you, that it's just a level of arrogance and authoritarianship that people should not be comfortable with. I'm going to have a lot more to say about this tomorrow for our Friday extravaganza. I appreciate you hanging out with us this afternoon. I love your company. I don't just love your company. I love you. Okay, the Tom and Curley Show's coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. I'll see you back here tomorrow. High noon.